sorry to get on my little soapbox here, but we've lost two state championships because of injustice, in my opinion, because, and I'm not blaming the referees, I'm just saying because they miss. I've refereed before and I missed, but they did miss. We had 12 on the field last year or 2 years ago, and this last state championship had a 25-year veteran sit there and go over the video over and over and over. Two key plays said that they completely blew it. They got the other ones. So, I don't like that. I don't like thinking that we missed. I have two state championship medals from when I played, and there was no injustice. We just got our butt handed to us by Pitt Colgan my freshman year, and they looked like a college coming off to us. And then my senior year, we lost by 1 yard, and there was no injustice. We just didn't make it into the end zone. And so I don't like injustice. How many of you like to see justice done? I do. I will just tell you this. I had somebody steal $800 from me, and they said, "Do you want to press charges?" And I said, "Absolutely." I'm not holding unforgiveness against the people that did it. I just feel like they need to have restitution for their own good, and they need, because the person who did it, the police said the very day that they stole $800 from you, we arrested them in Joplin for stealing, and they have a record of it. Well, I know that there is an end, and our justice system serves that end, and it helps people to be on the right track. And I don't want them beat up. I would pray for them. I have been praying for them. And I would minister to them. I don't hold on. But I want the justice system to take its place in our natural realm. A lot of people say, how can you believe in the death penalty? Because I don't have a big problem with this realm and that realm. I believe that there are people who have had the death penalty, and I'm going to live with them in heaven forever. Because I believe that they came right, but what they did here, they had to be removed. And it's just not a big deal to me, here or there. And so I like justice. I think that restitution and certain levels of punishment should be issued. And I think it's violating to have injustice. I've used this illustration before. It would feel very violating if we had no speed limit and you got stopped by a policeman and he said, "I'm writing you a speeding ticket," and you said, "Like, what for? What? You were going too fast." "But there's no speed limit. How what's too fast?" "Well, I just think you're going too..." "You mean you get to decide that I'm going too fast and write me a..." That's violating, isn't it? And injustice is, and especially when it's done through police, and I don't like it when it is. I think my brother ought to be allowed to go around and train the law officers because I love the way he does it. I like his perspective. He is not some tyrant, and he doesn't take authority and use it wrong. But we like justice. And I want to show you these videos. These four videos are about anywhere from about 20 seconds to 35 seconds long. But it's called dash cam. People who have dash cams when they're driving. And I watch them. I just think that they're funny to watch. And these videos are called karma videos, instant karma, where you will hear people get excited. They know something is done wrong. So you will watch one of them, and this guy just misses a car in front of him by just inches, and he's just driving crazy. And when I'm on the road, I'm like, "Arrest that guy. He needs to pull it." I mean, if there was a cop around, I'd like to call the cops on people. How many of you ever experienced that before? "Idiot, hey, where's a cop when you need it?" Well, you're going to see this, and you're going to hear the people's response, and it's basically my response. Yeah! And so, Caleb, do number one, and I'll kind of navigate through it. This is number one. And some of these don't have sound. Now, you're going to see that. That's a cop right there. They're in that. It's an unmarked car, and that is not a cop. And that person is just kind of going to be an idiot. That was not good. Very unhealthy driving. All right. And then here they come. They're gonna whip over to the left here. Boom. They're gonna come over to the left around that truck again. And then they're going to barely miss that truck. No. Look at that. Yeah. And then they had to look at this, how close they came. And then the cop had to move over. And here it comes. Here's the satisfying part. Watch the back end of this white SUV. Here it is. Here it is. Listen to the people. You heard the satisfaction of watching that guy get it, all right? And so go to number two, Caleb.
Oh, no, New York. New York, what are you doing? New York.
You said that at a red light.
They use language that is not good in church, so I did bleep some of it out. But you hear the satisfaction, and they weren't really mad. They're like, hey, you ran a red light. Oh, so do the next one. You see them up here on the right. Those lights, the light's green, and those cars are coming across. They all three ran red lights.
Yes! Do it!
you hear, I mean, I don't know what it is, but you, I mean, people that are going to be idiots, yeah, you're like, but I'll just be honest with you. When I go by and there's a cop sitting on the side and I'm going a little too fast, I don't go, yeah, get him. I'm like, mercy, Jesus, mercy, Jesus. One more, Kato, do it.
You remember when this girl was telling you?
Can I help you, sir? Oh, oh, you saw that. I know you saw that. I know you saw that.
Doesn't mean he hasn't stopped him.
Yes!
W policeman.
Let's go!
W policeman.
That is going on the channel.
W. He's going to be late.
Isn't that funny? We like justice, and I wanted to show you those because you could hear the people. They're like, yeah, justice is being served, and I do like our justice system. And unfortunately, in the church world, bad teaching over the last, what Caleb said, over the last, basically since about the 1500s. The theology of why Jesus came has really distorted this. And you know, if you look at religion just across the world, don't put a label on it, whether it's Hindu, Muslim, Christian, when it turns into religion, then there is always a deity that's offended. That deity must be appeased by some type of justice. Or else he's, and we are the justice, we're the people that's going to make sure that justice is carried out. And so it turns bad. I mean, in the church realm, it turns bad. Because the justice that needs to take place in that world does not need to take place in the spiritual realm, not as far as Christianity, because our Father governs that. And he knows how to govern it, and he knows how to handle it. And so we don't need to be his hand extended to issue judgment or you know, justice. I just was amazed, even when I went to Egypt, I went into a mall, And in the mall, of course, I went with a guy that was born and raised there, Michael Ahmed, a lot of you know him. And I saw some people not wearing anything on their head, the girls. I saw some wearing a little cap, a little something. And then I saw some wearing full headdress, and some of them had burkas on. And I said, Mike, where is the rules here? And he goes, it's just by their level of what they think they should do. And I went, dude, I see that in Christianity. I see these same rules that have to be followed. And over there, you'll be in trouble. Even in India, there are certain things that you can't do because of the religion. Because it's just bad when people get in charge of being able to enforce religion. And it doesn't do good, and I don't want it in Christianity, and I don't want that to happen with our governmental setup. But, we've seen what's the bad of it. I mean, we've seen it. When religion gets involved with government, you have bad things have happened. You've seen them through history. And so that's not good. So we have to understand that the justice that we want done in this world, we can't let that pull over into God's realm. And a lot of time we do, and we do it with our own self, and we allow the accuser to accuse us and beat us down with condemnation and all that because we're not doing the right thing and we know it and we should pay. And we think that way. And when we think that way, we open the door to the voice of the accuser to sit there and pound the crap out of us. I mean, just condemn us. Beat on us and beat on us until we feel absolutely worthless. And I've gone through that, and I've had to get that away from me. I've actually had to make it a point to rid myself of those thoughts because the enemy had access to me and would lie to me. On the other hand, I was walking around being one of the most judgmental people ever. From hair color to people just doing it different than I do it, looking different. Well, guy, spiritual and non-spiritual, I was very judgmental. And I noticed that I couldn't fix the one without fixing the other. It was hard for me to fix the one out there with it coming towards me until I fixed the one that was coming out of me. Because as you judge, you will be judged. The same measure you issue is going to be measured back to you. And so we get to choose our level of grace. A lot of times the enemy gets access to us because of our judgment. And we have voices in our head that seem so real and so right, and they're not. They're the enemy, and he's beating on us. And so we have to remember that. We're taught that. Even in the book, The Final Quest, I noticed that when Rick saw the horde of the enemy, that the arrows of the enemy were named accusation, gossip, slander, and fault finding. And I think we allow those arrows to come out of us at times. And it's real, and it does harm more than it does good. And so banishing blame, getting blame out. This justice system actually turns to blame, and blame turns to accusation. And that's why the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. And I want to show this scripture in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. And I want you to look at it, and I'm going to comment on it here. It says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now salvation and the power and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down.'" And I want to present to you this. It's hard to reign, to have his salvation issued, to have power issued, and to have his kingdom on this earth when there's accusation. We need to throw it out. We need to throw him down. We need to throw him down in our own personal life. in our in this body, and we need to throw him down at us. We need to toss him down. Because until he does, it says, after he was thrown down, it says, and now. So these things, it's hard to get them in when there is the other, when there is the accusation. And remember, the enemy's voice is through my mouth sometimes. And those arrows get released through my mouth at other people. Okay? And I want to say this last verse, and I'm only going to put the first part of it. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses him before our God day and night. And I'm not going to finish the rest of it. I just want these first four words. And they overcame him. The ability to overcome is after accusation is thrown down. It's hard to overcome until accusation is. How many of you hear the voice of blame that beats you down sometimes? We all do, don't we? We all do. The church world has taught us this, that if you walk and act like nothing happens and you receive forgiveness freely, you're a hypocrite. Are you a hypocrite or a grace receiver? You're absolutely a grace receiver. Yeah, yeah, because we've already heard about our own self-righteousness, and the righteousness of God must take place over our own righteousness. It's imputed to us. It has to be. It's not that our lives don't need to come to a place where we're growing, but this is the way it is for us right now. So when you hear that voice, toss it down. When I started this process years ago, I would hear in my mind, you're hiding truth. That's truth. You know you did it. You're trying to hide sin. You're going to be blind. The enemy's going to take control of your life. I would hear these things because the enemy was fighting to keep his grip on me, because he would beat me down. Boy, I'd rise up. Man, all of a sudden, when I'd get to a certain place, here would come, boom, boom, and I'd hear the onslaught of all of these things. And I want to say this. Some of you live under this. You live under this. Your gifts are being muted because you live under this. You feel like you're unworthy because you hear the blame in your head of all of your failure. You hear that, and so you feel like that you can't be used of God in your gift because of all of what you've been doing and all how bad you are. That is a bunch of crud. I want you to understand this. The gifts and callings are irrevocable, and they do not work by your own righteousness. They don't even work by righteousness. They're a gift. I have watched people in bad sin, and I don't recommend it, be used so powerfully, inaccurately in gifts. So stop discounting yourself. Stand up and be who you are before you feel like you are Mr. Clean. I'm not discounting you growing and becoming, better. And I talk about that. But your righteousness is as filthy rags. Stop using your own righteousness to come to your Father. Use His righteousness that He already bought for you. And use your gifts. And while you're using them in your mind, oh boy, I'll have to say it anyhow. God, please don't judge me on this one. Give the devil a finger in your mind while you're using your gift. Just tell him where to go. Call him names. Sorry if that. Blame leads to judgment. Now, I want to say this. We are to examine what others do and what they say. And a lot of the church world has just said, just don't do this part of it. You need to do this part of it. You will become open if you watch somebody and go, oh, I don't agree with them, but don't blame. I'm just going to, we accept them, but we know what's wrong. And we know what's wrong, not so we can point it out to them, so we can pray for them and find a way to restore them if they are that far out. Amen? Does everybody see that? So yes, we're to evaluate. No, I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with even what you're doing. Your actions, the way you are, I don't agree with it, but it doesn't mean I have to issue justice from God because you need judged. That's where we go wrong. It's unrighteous judgment. Okay? God has already, through Christ, laid judgment in this world. It's already been judged. The enemy has the one that's been judged. You and I have been given a get out of jail card and you've been issued a whole bunch of them. That's your judgment. Your judgment is get out of jail when you've done something that should put you there. Don't wait for a certain amount of time to pass. Father, I'm sorry that I messed up right there. I receive it. This is the important part. Let's just do this. Father, say this with me. Father, I receive forgiveness. I receive cleanliness in Jesus' name. See, you need to do that. Father, I receive it. Yep, Lord, I messed up here. I receive. Boy, there's something that happens with that. It's like when I used to make the boys hug me after I disciplined them. I reunited with him. Father, I receive that. I receive you. I reunite with you. The enemy tried to separate me from you. I ran and hid, but I now receive it. Hug, hug, hug. Okay? And then say, now, any enemy that got access to me through that, get in Jesus' name. And they leave. And the last time they're there, the easier it is for it to make them leave. So don't wait a long time. They're just pesky little pieces of crud. Also, I want to say this. We judge from a position of strength. Be careful that your strengths aren't a place to judge from. Do you know what? I saw myself doing that. I was good at certain things. I was very weak at other things. When I found somebody not doing my strength things, oh, buddy, you've had it. Why are you doing that? It's easy. You shouldn't be doing it. Well, it might be hard to them. Who I am, I can defeat certain things, and who they are, they're defeating things. And I didn't realize they were defeating things that I was having trouble and being weak in. And they were kicking the crud out of them. And I was judging them for the places that I was strong and they were weak. You know what? The Bible says this. It says, you're a body. And when one is weak, the other is strong. And the one that I think is the most weak is the one that I need the most. And I alienate my brother and the very gift and the very thing they are to me when I alienate them through judgment and blame. Isn't that so good? Man, it's a $10 message. I usually preach $5 ones. This is a $10 message. Get a hold of this and you will be so free and you're going to watch your life change in a way that you never imagined. You'll quit running from God, the judge, and you'll run to God, the merciful. See that teaching that's in our world today, that justice must be served. God has been violated. And we separated ourselves from him through that sin. That is not scriptural. When we look at it as like this, God redeemed me because I sold myself to sin. He bought me. He paid the price to buy me back. And he said, now, child, go free and be free. And if you get caught up again, I'll come and rescue you again. That is the proper theology. And it was in the church world for about the first, up until about the 1300s. And the others started creeping in. It started creeping in because religion was at its height then. It was bad. It's why the Reformation took place. Because religion really, really heightened at that place. And that other is part of religion. So Luke 6:37 says this. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. I think that's so important there. Man, when we judge, dude, you're going to get judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. There you go. We get to pick. And the New King James says, forgive, and you will be forgiven. But the word for forgive in Greek is apollo. And the definition of that is not like where it says forgive, about forgiveness in the other places. It actually means this. It means to set free, release, and let go. So instead of binding them in religious rules, God says, don't judge. Let them go. Set them free. Find a place. I'm going to tell you that I had a great example of this when I was actually putting this together. I have these messages. I've had this for over a month now, a couple months. And I watched Julie. She has a figurine that was, it's way out of date. It's by an artist and they retire it. And when they retire it, it actually becomes worth more because you can't buy them in a store. And she had one. And while we were moving stuff over Christmas, she was decorating. And I love the way she decorates. She dropped it and it broke. And it broke pretty much unrepairably. At first it broke into two pieces and she said, maybe I can fix it. And in the process of taking it over, she dropped it again and it broke into too many pieces. And here's what I did, because I heard her. I heard in her voice, it was a loss. And I wanted to do it the scripture. I didn't want blame, bad feelings, or anything to settle in on her. I wanted to remove it and set her free. And so here's what I did. I said, sugar, I'll clean this up. I didn't even want her looking at the pieces that meant blame to her, or that meant, you know, I lost. I didn't want her even, I said, I'll clean it up. And you know what I did? I immediately sat down and I did an internet search until I found another one, and I bought another one. It came yesterday and I gave it to her to restore what was lost to her. I did. I came up. Sorry, Benny. Hey, why would I want my wife to walk around and experience loss and blame? Cost me $40-some. It was worth it. God says, remove the blame from others. Take it away. Don't blame them. Take it off. Set them free. Let them walk free. And I don't know what that means in every situation, but Galatians 6:1 says this, and I love this. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, the strong, restore such a one in a spirit of greatness, gentleness, I'm sorry, each one looking to yourself, so that you will not be tempted. See, Paul knew the principle that if you judge, you'll be judged. And he was telling them, listen, restore them, because if you don't and you judge, you're going to be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8, this is how the Amplified. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. That's love. Remember when, was it Noah, one of his sons uncovered him? Uncovered Noah. Remember, when the son that uncovered his father, his son uncovered his nakedness, he was the one that was, it led a cursed life. Remember that. Cover each other. When you see somebody wrestling with guilt for failure, Go get it off of them. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things that I do without speaking of word when I go to play cards, and people have trouble with this. People have trouble, have said to me, why do you as a preacher go to the casino? And my question is, why don't you? Where the heck are you supposed to be winning people? We're going to sit in our little groups, in our little Christian groups, and expect to win the world while we categorize it, we and them. I don't do the we and them. It's all us. And when I go down to minister, I'm telling you, I have questions. You ask Leroy. These people corner me. They answer questions. They come over with praise reports. We have more Jesus talk in that place than you probably imagine. Don't we, Leroy? We've sent a prayer cloth with somebody. Absolutely. And they get and he comes up and gives us a victory report every week. They're up, they're doing this, they're bought. You know, people who ask me, why do you? I say, why don't you? I'm not saying it for everybody. If you're at a place where that'll grab you, you don't need to grow. Grow a little bit. You don't need to go there. Grow. But go find a place to minister. There are going to be so much ministry being done that does not look like it's Christian in-church ministry, and God's going to be using it. Look at who he's using in our world today. These people aren't Christian-y people. It's people who stepped up and are doing the right thing, and it's putting the enemy right where he's supposed to be. And so one of the greatest things that I encounter is that when people know that I'm a pastor and they cuss in front of me, and then I see that, oh, I'm sorry. My biggest task is to go, what are you telling me for? I want to act like their cussing is nothing. And you know what? The church world wants to blame people for it. They want to blame a skunk for spraying. Can't believe that skunk sprayed. Why are you doing it? It's his nature. When you have people that don't know Jesus inside to the level that you do, they're going to not look like you. They need you, and they don't need us judging them. They need us issuing the grace of our Father. Freely you've received, freely give it to them. Don't wait until they're clean. Issue it to them while they're in the middle. And I do it to get the blame off of them. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, dude, I said that word more before I was 18 than you've said in your whole life. That's our little granddaughter's new thing. Don't say dude. Don't, no dude. But that we should be getting blame off of people. We should be issuing grace because we've received it freely. I said it earlier, when I'm the one that's speeding, buddy, you can bet I want grace. I want grace for other people too. And I'm just telling you that blaming leads to control. And I'm going to tell you some statements that are blame statements that might not seem like it. We might think we're doing good. Well, why are you doing that? What the heck is it? Why do you say it like that? Tell me what that connotates. Well, why are you doing that? What does that connotate to you? You're doing it wrong, right? Come on. That's not a help statement. If you do know a better way, find a way to formulate it and issue it to them with some grace and love instead of slapping them over the head with it. Amen? How many of you don't like people to approach you that way? Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, you're not doing it. Shut up. Get in the ball game or get out of the cheap seats. I'm in the ball game here. This is a struggle for me. I might be failing at it, but at least I'm not going to quit. And your voice doesn't sound like it wants me to keep going. My Father wants me to keep going. You sound like you want to blame me. Don't let people do that to you. Amen? The backlash of judgment is that we are judged. And you remove the blood covering from you. That blood covering is a helmet of salvation. Romans 2:1 in the Amplified says this. Therefore, you have no excuse or justification, every one of you who hypocritically judges and condemns others. For in passing judgment to another person, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge from a position of arrogance and self-righteousness are habitually practicing the very same things which you denounce. We might say that we're not doing the thing that we're judging, but by judging, we are placing ourselves in the same sinful boat as the person we're judging because of their sin. I want to say that again. You might not be doing that thing. I guarantee you, if God came to look in your closet, you'd be doing something. And your grace for what you're wrestling with just ran out because you issue judgment on somebody else. Amen? That's a good... This Holy Spirit's saying this today. He's been saying it before I ever took off here. He's been saying it through everybody that's up here. And we need to take that out of here. And you know what? I took a position a long time ago, and my position is this. A woman that was caught in known sin. Rock throwers over here. Even when I am the woman caught in the sin, I take the position of Jesus and I say, you're not throwing rocks at me. I'm not going to stand here and let you throw rocks at me. I'll leave because you're not throwing rocks at me. I will let my Father have me. You're not having me. Remember when David said that? God had said, David, what do you want? Do you want me to judge? Do you want me to turn you over to them? And he said, not them, you. I'll let you. I won't let them. You don't let people judge you. You stand in between your failures and the rock throwers. You make a point to. And you can tell people, hey, you know what? What you're telling me is not helping me. If you're real creative, I start saying, you know what? I bet you're not the cleanest person on the earth yourself. Issue grace, receive grace. I'm going to do two more scriptures and we're going to end. 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bond slave. Love people. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom. See, when you get free in a place, don't use that place to judge. It's a place of strength. I know it is. For you're called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Amen.